Tuning into KBOO today. It's almost 10 o'clock. Time for flashpoints. Among the stories today on the show, a new report from the United Nations about climate change. Also, a look at Chernobyl, 28 years after the nuclear reactor meltdown there. We're going to listen to a couple of announcements that will take us right into flashpoints. Stay tuned at 11 for the Recovery Zone with host Stephanie Potter talking about improv theater used in conflict resolution.
I'm Don Merrill, and I've been talking to as many Oregon State judicial, legislative, and gubernatorial candidates for 2014 office as I can. And I've been talking to them all. Deep blue, progressive, liberal, democratic, centrist, independent, Republican, conservative, libertarian, deep red. Many of these candidates get ignored by the mainstream media, but they're not ignored here. Hear these interviews on my podcast at www.kboo.fm/between us. Listen to the people who want to lead you in 2014. Oregon State judicial, legislative, and gubernatorial candidate interviews at my podcast, www.kboo.fm/between us.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor Organizing and Winning for 21st Century Movements, Wednesday, May 7th, 7:15 p.m. at Portland State University. The speakers for this event will be Steve Early, author of Save Our Unions, Dispatches from a Movement in Distress, journalist Arun Gupta, founder of The Independent and the Occupied Wall Street Journal, and Joanna Brenner, retired PSU faculty member who writes on feminist theory and politics. Again, that's Wednesday, May 7th at Portland State University's Smith Center, room 238 at 1825 Southwest Broadway in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
And this is KBOO Portland.
Flashpoints, Earth Day 2014. A new report from the United Nations says that climate change can be solved by the radical implementation of alternative energy sources. Also, a look at Chernobyl, 28 years after the nuclear reactor melted down, and 6 months to the day since young Andy Lopez was gunned down by a seasoned sheriff's trainer, and the community is still demanding justice. I'm Dennis Bernstein. All this straight ahead on Flashpoints. Stay tuned. Berkeley, I'm Dennis Bernstein. You're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. Well, it's Earth Day, and we're taking a look at the health of the Earth. And on the 26th, it will be the 28th anniversary of the nuclear reactor explosion at Chernobyl. And when you think about the Earth, the health of the Earth, you certainly want to think about that, and of course Fukushima and other related events. Joining us to talk about this is Linda Gunther. Gunther is the founder and international specialist of Beyond Nuclear. The organization recently released the piece Chernobyl, No Eden, Say Beyond Nuclear Experts. It states a newly published study has uncovered alarming indications of biological loss and ecological collapse in the area around the Chernobyl nuclear reactor that exploded in Ukraine. Yeah, that's right, Ukraine, April 26, 1986. Welcome, Linda Gunther. It's good to have you. Happy Earth Day. The results from this report, though, are not that happy.
Not at all, no, and come really on the heels of other alarming indications that all is not well in the so-called Garden of Eden in Chernobyl. We know already about the shortened lifespan of birds there and the compromised immune systems, the mutations of plants and insects. But this study, which was done by a friend and colleague of ours at the University of South Carolina, Tim Mousseau and his team, really throws up a big question about what happens to the ecological environment as a whole when it is contaminated long-term with radioactivity. And what they found is a lack of organic decay, which means that trees that fell at the time of the accident, at the time of the explosion, are still lying there on the forest floor, and they have not disintegrated into sawdust. Obviously, this changes the whole natural cycle of life. So we hope we're not seeing sort of what I call the sort of potential advance of a silent spring there, but it appears that microbes are not present to decay this material. And one of the most alarming things in the near term, of course, is that this buildup of leaf matter does invite a tinderbox situation for forest fires, and that could spread radioactivity beyond the already contaminated areas.
How would that work? How would that unfold?
Well, that rather brings us back to the whole issue of Earth Day and climate change, because yes, as you may remember, in 2010, Russia was plagued with terrible wildfires which threatened Moscow through actually smoke and smog over the city. And that was a result of record high temperatures and drought, which are clearly a result of climate change. So the awful confluence of the impact of the Chernobyl nuclear explosion in 1986 and our national government's terrible, you know, criminal inability to act quickly enough on climate change means that we could now see Chernobyl contributing directly to the spread of contamination through the fact that climate change is creating a warming world and forest fires and brush fires will be more prevalent. And when you've got dry leaves sitting on a forest floor, it really, as Mousseau said, is like a sort of tinderbox just waiting to be lit up.
All right, you're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. We're speaking with Linda Gunter. She's the founder and international specialist of Beyond Nuclear, and she knows a lot about Chernobyl, what's going on. And this, what else in terms of this recent report is significant? What should we know about? What concerns you?
Well, I think what concerns me, what makes me a little bit hopeful, actually, about this report is that one of the very facile arguments that we encounter amongst what I like to call the nuclear deniers is that, oh, look, you know, human beings are not around anymore in the Chernobyl zone, and so now it's teeming with wildlife. And this is kind of a naive idea. You know, I feel that, well, on the one hand, we recognize that we have contributed to an incredibly negative environment for wildlife through pollution and destruction of habitat and so forth. We also believe rather naively that if we suddenly vanished, they would be happier and better off. But we've set up an incredible sort of dependency for wildlife. And actually, this was brought out beautifully in the book, The World Without Us, which, you know, sort of foresaw what would happen if humanity suddenly vanished. And in fact, so much depends on our being there to run things, including nuclear power plants, which, of course, would all melt down if we weren't around, that the idea that the animals in the Chernobyl zone are happy and frolicking about and procreating and are glad that we're gone is a complete myth and is an illusion only in visual terms. But when you look at their biology and what's actually happening to them, it's a real, because of course exposure to long-term low doses of radiation does affect DNA and therefore offspring are infected and so forth. This study just sort of compounds that eerie feeling that we're looking at some sort of rather dystopian environment, which is very popular in current pop culture films, but we'd rather not see it in our actual lifetime, and possibly we will.
Well, talk a little bit about, this is Earth Day, and we like to consider the larger picture. So we're talking about Chernobyl, as we said, will be the 28th anniversary on April 26th. But we also have Fukushima now, which is on the closer horizon. There is still a struggle. There seems to be, some of us are being called alarmists, over the top, and others feel like there is still an ongoing danger, a profound danger based on the various aspects of Fukushima. Here on Earth Day, are we in a safer nuclear world than we were, say, 25 years ago, 26 years ago?
Well, I hate to be sort of the negative voice on Earth Day when we should be celebrating the Earth and being hopeful. And there are things to be hopeful about. And definitely the lowering of price for wind and solar, the fact that wind and solar are coming on really fast and we are seeing nuclear decline. But unfortunately, the decline sounds another warning, which means that the regulatory oversight, the safety oversight is not so great. The people who have the experience operating the nuclear plants are retiring in huge numbers, and they're not being replaced at the same speed. Aging reactors are much more dangerous than midlife reactors. New reactors are also, you know, the first couple of years when you have a washing machine is when it's likely to break down, same with nuclear power plants. But a lot of them are aging now, embrittled, more dangerous than they were. And the economics of nuclear are so poor that we are seeing companies walk away from nuclear. So it is a little bit disturbing that the store is probably not being minded with the same kind of attention as it needs and had before, and that we've got all these aging reactors operating now in the world who've got huge inventories of nuclear waste in their pools and could dwarf, if something happened to them, the impact of Chernobyl and even Fukushima.
And so 25 years later, where are we? Is this a safer world?
Well, we're not learning some of the lessons that we needed to learn, but, you know, I feel like those lessons could have been learned many, many, many decades ago. I like to quote the Paley Commission of 1952, which was under the Truman administration, which did a whole study on the U.S. energy future and concluded that the U.S. would be best served going into, quote, aggressive research in the whole field of solar energy, an effort which the United States could make an immense contribution to the welfare of the world. So that advice was not heeded. The Eisenhower administration came in and turned it all over into so-called Athens for Peace. And we went round down the nuclear road instead of the solar road in 1952. So you can sort of imagine, you probably wouldn't even need Earth Day if, in fact, the U.S. had led the world in the solar revolution in 1952. And so I don't think we're in a safer place, either from a nuclear power or nuclear weapons, frankly, position than we've been. But the good news is that we've got lots of alternatives now ready to go in production, being deployed, that can really, you know, as the latest UN report showed, can really make the difference. Solar and wind on their own can really make the difference, or economic, can, you know, supply what we need and serve the needs of developing as well as developed countries. So there's lots of positive things going on, even though the nuclear picture is still dire. That said, nuclear power is in decline, has been for some time now worldwide. And so that's a good sign, I think, that the economics and the safety culture of nuclear are just not attractive anymore, certainly not to Wall Street and Main Street, and even not in the boardrooms of utility executives.
Yeah, and I'm not worried, by the way, about being negative here, because we're definitely interested in telling the truth. But in the where we are right now moment, your quick assessment of the situation at Fukushima and the fact that apparently you've got a new Japanese leadership that is pro-nuclear on steroids.
Terrible, yeah. The Abe administration is just, yeah, it's a pretty disastrous turn of events, especially now that we see Naoto Kan, who was actually the prime minister during the beginning of the unfolding of the disaster, who's become a champion of ending the nuclear age, but unfortunately is no longer in office. I think it's very difficult to know exactly what the situation is right now in Fukushima. There's been an incredible suppression of information coming out of Japan from the beginning, not only from the government, but especially from TEPCO, the utility. I think we're all sitting around with our fingers really tightly crossed, which is not a good situation to be in, if that's what it depends on, that no major earthquake hits in the near future or even in the indefinite future, because these reactors are still vulnerable, all of them. Just because they're shut down doesn't mean to say they're safe. There are no reactors operating in Japan right now, but they've all got their fuel inventories on board, and Fukushima is still vulnerable. And what we've seen happen, you know, the incredible sort of human toll of what's happened to people's lives, livelihoods, families, their health, their work, their homes, their culture has been wrecked by this. And that's very little discussed and we get very caught up, I think, in the sort of technological analysis and forget the human tragedy. And at the end of the day, that's what it amounts to at Chernobyl, at Three Mile Island, at Fukushima, and at the unfortunately next one that will undoubtedly happen unless we really see the light and say, okay, you know, we've got to shut these things down as quickly as possible. We can do other things. You know, we can do wind, we can do solar, we can certainly do offshore wind. I mean, the biggest missed opportunities I see it in the U.S. is offshore wind. We looked at just at this sort of Atlantic seaboard. You know, Rhode Island to Virginia could power a third of the U.S. in offshore wind alone. And thank goodness it's starting to happen. But the fact that U.S. has no offshore wind power is, you know, it's a disgrace. And so I think that the tide, so to speak, is turning on that front as well. And we will see a good deployment of wind both on and offshore. And maybe we'll start to see more nuclear plants shut down this year as we saw last year, which would be a good turn of events.
All right. We're going to leave it right there. But I do want to thank you very much, Linda Gunter, founder and international specialist of Beyond Nuclear. And we thank you for joining us today, Earth Day, on Flashpoints. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Dennis. It was a pleasure.
All right. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
To be blessed, but the world got issues that we must address. It's like, whether you rest on the poor, worse the best. The devil got his hand all up the earth's dress. With the toxic elements we waste, use and test. You need to reconsider where you choose to invest. Cause hell have no wrath like a woman scorned. Do you really want beef with your mama nature? She wants clean air and water for her next born. And I don't know if I could diss or just